Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Quill work is an art form unique to Native Americans. For today's Images of the Past, we look at the evolving artistry of quill work over the centuries. You can follow along and see images of some of the objects we're going to talk about here at sdpb.org/images of the past. Connor McMahon is Chief Curator, U.S. Department of the Interior, Indian Arts and Crafts Board, and he joins us in the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio inside SDPB's Black Hills studio in Rapid City. Connor McMahon, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I can't recommend enough people sort of going online and looking at some of these images, because the first thing that comes, that jumps out at you is just the really vibrant color of many of these artifacts. So let's talk a little bit about what quill work is first, and set the scene for us, please.
Sure. Thank you. So quill work is one of the truly uniquely Native American art forms. It's found nowhere else in the world. And it was really developed by the indigenous people of the Great Plains using the materials that they had available. I like to always, one of the most common questions that we get from visitors at the museum is about beadwork, Native American beadwork, and where did it come from and how did it develop? And I always take that opportunity to explain to people that actually beadwork is just the evolution of the existing art form of quill work that Native Americans developed to adorn their clothing and other objects.
Mm. How far back does it go? How many years ago were people making this? It's decorative, and right? I mean, is it practical and decorative, or is it just decorative?
That's a good question. No, it's definitely decorative,
yeah.
As far as I know, at least. I haven't really run across any instances of where quill work was used for a practical purpose.
Sure.
It's a form of adornment. And dating it is a bit challenging, too, because many of the objects, since they're organic, they don't really survive too long. Okay. But the oldest examples of quill work that we have go back to the 18th century, about the mid-1700s. But based on oral tradition of Lakota people as well as other Native Americans in the Northern Plains, I think it's reasonable to assume that it goes back hundreds of years before that as well, too.
Tell me about some of these artifacts that we have on Images of the Past, sdpb.org/images of the past. Let's start with these sort of remarkable moccasins.
Those are wonderful, aren't they? Yes.
Yeah.
So these pieces are from one of our oldest collections at the Sioux Indian Museum. It's called the John Anderson Collection. And John Anderson was a trading post owner who lived on the Rosebud Reservation in the late 1800s and early 1900s and amassed just an amazing collection of artifacts that became the nucleus of what's now the Sioux Indian Museum. And these pieces show a sunburst or starburst design. And as you noted, they have some really extraordinary colors. One of the really fascinating things about quill work and Native American art in general that I always like to tell people is the ability of these artists to incorporate new materials into their existing traditions. So when Europeans arrived and brought with them synthetic and chemical dyes, Native American artists really took to those. They were thrilled to have additional sources of dyes and not just be limited to the traditional plant-based dyes. Mm-hmm. So you start to see some really vibrant pinks, purples, yellows, and those dyes also last a lot longer than some of those plant-based dyes. So we're really fortunate to have them still today.
So when you're looking at something, how do you tell just from looking at it, or do you do some kind of testing as far as, you know, what was used to achieve a color?
Sure. Well, in many cases, just based on the color,
yeah,
you can make a pretty good assumption, as well as the date by which the object was made. That also gives us some clues. We know the exact dates where a lot of these synthetic dyes and pigments were invented. But you can also certainly do scientific testing analysis of those materials as well, too.
Tell me about some of the symbolism, and when we talk about the, you know, decoration or adornment, is there significance to some of the symbols, the sunburst, the different things that you see?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lovely woman's dress also featured on the site that shows some dragonflies and butterflies,
yeah,
which are really important symbolically in Lakota culture as well as to many Native American cultures as well, too. Really a symbol of transformation, rebirth. The dragonfly is also thought in some beliefs to carry messages from ancestors and the dead to people who are still alive.
Hmm. So is this woman's work, men's work? Who would have created, some of these designs?
Sure. So historically, quill work would have been done only by women. It was definitely regarded as a sacred gift, really, that was given only to women. However, in modern times, one of the fascinating things about contemporary Native American art is that many of those typical gender roles have really been broken down. And so there are certainly men creating some extraordinary examples of quill work. Or just last week, I was at the Journey Museum talking about how ledger art, which historically was only created by men, there are now some fantastic female ledger artists. So really, artists these days are free to experiment and create in whatever medium they choose to.
Tell me a little bit about the process here. So was the dyeing done? Okay, so this comes from a porcupine. And so are they harvesting the porcupine? Are they? I have no idea.
No, that's a great question.
Begin? Are you hunting it first and then gathering quills, then dyeing them, and then what, weaving them? Walk us through how to.
Sure. Well, one funny story I always like to tell is we had a contemporary artist at the museum who did quill work, and she told me if she came home to one more dead porcupine that somebody had left for her on her front porch, she was going to scream. But historically, generally, the porcupines were not killed, actually. The quills could be harvested from the porcupine while it was still alive. And based on some of the ethnographic and historical accounts that we have, what was commonly done was a hide or a skin would be often with fur still attached, would be thrown over a live porcupine, kind of like throwing a blanket over the porcupine. And then the quills would stick in that, and that could then be pulled off the porcupine, and you could harvest many of the quills without actually killing the porcupine. So a really inventive and creative way to get the material that was needed.
Wow.
It was a really time-intensive and laborious process to prepare the quills for work and then to actually create the quill work. The quills would have been cut, and typically they were dyed first, and then they would have been cut, the ends would have been cut off, and then women would actually chew the quills in their mouth to soften them, and then they could be cut or split and then wrapped around thread or sinew and stitched down onto leather articles. Yeah. So because the process took so long and was really laborious and also fairly painful, as you can imagine, sticking porcupine quills in your mouth isn't the most comfortable thing. That's one of the reasons that Native American artists took so readily to beadwork when those glass beads became available from Europe. They represented a whole new color palette that was available, and they were much quicker and easier to work with.
Right. Tell me about this pouch that we have on pictured on the website here, sdpb.org/images of the past, if you want to follow along. And this is a little purse or a case, really.
Exactly. So this is a case that would have been made by a woman to hold all the supplies and tools that she needed to create beadwork, which were fairly simple. Pretty much consisted of the quills themselves, some sinew, an awl, perhaps a small bone knife historically, or a metal knife once those were available. The case itself is interesting. The material that these were typically made out of was actually a bison bladder. Bladders were also used for water storage containers, but because they were waterproof and very quite durable and flexible, they were a material of choice for holding these porcupine quills. And then, as you can see in this piece, it's kind of a really interesting piece because you can see the combination of these two technologies, a case that's designed for holding porcupine quills, but is adorned not with quill work, but with glass beadwork.
Fascinating. All right, so how does it change, the materials change? Do the symbols change? The colors, everything changes based on the technology available, essentially.
Certainly. It changes based on the technology, but also social and cultural factors that are influencing the artists and the American Indian people as a whole. And the last pair of moccasins that we featured, I think, shows that really interesting convergence of cultures that we see in what we call the reservation era, and where Native Americans start to adopt symbols in their artwork of America, right? So we start to see American flags very commonly done in both quill work and beadwork, symbol American eagles, other symbols of the United States being incorporated into this traditional Native American technology and artwork.
Let's talk about people who are doing this artwork today, are they sticking with it, you know, as close to the original process as possible, or has the process become less arduous as well?
Well, the process itself is still just as difficult and time-consuming as it's always been. There's really no shortcuts when it comes to preparation of the quill work. The dyeing technology has become a bit modernized, as we talked about, so that's a little bit easier than working with the vegetable dyes. There are actually really still only a few artists working in quill work because it is so time-intensive, but there's really a great variety out there from artists who are still doing traditional things, but also sometimes incorporating new techniques, new styles, things like that. One of the artists that we featured at the museum in years past, Stephanie Sorbel, Oglala Lakota, is just a fabulous artist and one of those who's been helping to revive quill work and keep that tradition strong well into the 21st century.